So we're just going to begin at verse number 10, John chapter number 10. Just about every one of us could quote it. And it simply says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Very, very simple here this morning, and I'm just going to preach. Amen. By definition. Amen. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. God, we love you and we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Praise God. It is important that we do take Scripture into context, and so I want to take just a moment to go back and to read the beginning of the chapter and how that and why that the Lord comes to the definition or comes to the exclamation that he presents unto us. And so he begins by talking unto them in verse number 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, but the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them." That's pretty much par for the course. He would speak to them in manners and ways that we would know to be called parables, and they would not be able to understand or be able to decipher exactly what he was meaning. And so he would either take them apart or he would begin to explain it to them at this moment and this point in time. He explains it to them even while they are there. And he just simply said unto them, "I say unto you," he said it like this, he said, "I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and find pasture." And then he simply just declares, he says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." Amen. So he defines himself. He lets all know who that he is. He says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And where we tend to hang up or tend to spend the most time at is in verse number 10, when the Lord defines that, and he simply says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's who the thief is. The thief is always the one doing the taking. Amen. The thief is the one that is doing the taking. He comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal everything that we have, sanctity, and all of the other things. He wants to kill amen, and to take away your life, spiritual life or physical life, and he wants to destroy, praise God. Jesus said, I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. And so he declares, and after that he said that I am the good shepherd. He said, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The simple definition is this: the thief takes and the shepherd gives. The thief will take everything that you have. The shepherd will give everything that he has, including his own life. That's what he says. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Praise God. Amen. Throughout all of Scripture, amen, Jesus, especially in the New Testament, would begin to expound in Old Testament Scriptures and began to put forth new things unto us, just basically bringing clarification, bringing more understanding to the things that people already had a little bit of knowledge about. In the book of Isaiah, man, the Lord would speak and he would say that hell hath enlarged itself without number. And so hell is not a new thing unto those that are living in Jesus' time. But we know that they understood. They had a place. They had a revelation and a respect for that place. And so the Lord would basically open their understanding and then give them better definition and clarification of that place. Amen. Letting them know that it was a very real place. Jesus said in Matthew 13, amen, that in the end time that he would sever the wicked from among the just, and that he would cast the wicked into the furnace of fire, where that there would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 18, he called it an everlasting fire and described it as hellfire. Other phrases that he used, adjectives that he used to be able to give us better clarity and understanding of this awful place, was he said that it is a place of everlasting punishment. It is a fire not quenched. It is a place where the worm dieth not. And then he even gave us a story to go with it when he said that there was a certain rich man, a man who was clothed in purple. Notice that he did not start this story out by saying, hear ye the parable of the rich man. But he said that there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple, and there was a certain beggar whose name was Lazarus, who sat beside the rich man's gate and begged of the crumbs from the rich man's table. Praise God. Amen. And so Jesus gives us clarity to this place of eternal damnation. Amen. Even in Proverbs 27, it was called, amen, hell and destruction are never full. And so Peter would later write, and he would tell us to be sober and to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Praise God. What was he doing? He was bringing back some things, amen, for understanding. He was bringing back some things so that you and I would begin to recall and begin to remember, amen, the devastation and the awful place that the enemy, that Jesus had spoken of concerning hell. Praise God. If you were to parallel it, you would see that Jesus spoke of hell more than he even spoke of heaven. Not because that hell is greater, but in reality we understand, amen, that broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat. But because that straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. Amen. The Bible says that hell is without measure. measure. Amen. But yet Jesus gave measurements concerning the kingdom of heaven, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. But yet hell is without measurement. And so Peter just brings it back to our attention. Why? Amen. It's because the thief would love for you to begin to forget about the things that you have. Amen. It is through negligence. It is through not taken care of, not putting forth effort, not giving time to different things that we have to forget about things. And it's kind of like the phrase that says, out of mind, out of sight. And so you take all of your valuables and you lock it up in a safe. Every man that has guns would have his treasures locked up in a safe somewhere so that the thief would not be able to access it so easily. Amen. Every woman with diamonds and pearls and all kinds of riches of that sort, amen, is going to take the time, if she treasures them, to put them in a place of safety. You and I would even take a step further when it comes to documents or maybe some type of old ancient coins and such. And we would take the time to spend money and place them in safety deposit boxes and security places, locked away into the vaults of the banks and such, because that we treasure them so much. And so it's out of mind, out of sight. And yet there is a thief that is constantly listening to your conversation, amen, to see what you're going to bring up about the valuables, constantly watching you, amen, as to what you are considering to be valuable. Amen. Your adversary, as a roaring lion, is seeking to be able to devour you. He's watching your time. Amen. He's marking down your habits. He's seeing what you do and what you don't do. He's watching where you go and where you don't go. And he's finding your weaknesses and going to exploit those weaknesses, because he is a thief. Amen. And Jesus said that the thief cometh not but to take the thing that you have. Amen. I read some history. I read some information about the thieves. And very, very seldom will a thief ever just pick you out and just immediately react and upon you, or act upon you to try to steal the things that you have. But he does what they call, he begins to case you out. He begins to watch you, study you. He begins to find out through following you or whatever. He may be your neighbor. He may live across the street. He may live down the road, but he's going to find out where you live. He's going to find out where you are. He's going to find out what's valuable to you. Amen. And he's going to know when that he is able to take you. Amen. They tell you through social medias and such things. They say, don't ever post when you're going on vacation, because that's what thieves are looking for. They're looking for the uninhabited house. They're looking for the times, amen, when you're posting about that you're in Aruba, or amen, Maybe you're in Ark City and having a great time or whatever. And they're going to exploit that. They're going to find out where you are and when you're not home. And they're going to take that time to come in. I was looking at some things just the other day, and they say that the new scam that is out, and so everybody beware of this. But they say that one of the new scams that is out is that an individual will come, and he may have a business card. are that he'll give you about his tree cutting business, and he'll tell you that he's looking at trees in your neighbors in the backyard back there, and he really needs to get access to your backyard so that he can see some things and such. And so what happens is these people walk out their front door, and they go around and they open the gate of the fence, and they walk into the backyard, and there they feel safe and comfortable, amen, as they are with this man, and he's looking at the trees and telling them, you know what, I think I'm going to have to take that out, and I might have to come into your yard, or I want to make sure that I don't, you know what, now come to think, I'll do it like this. And the whole time his partner, who was not Saul, amen, got out of the truck and went through the door of the person and is in there ransacking the house and going through the valuables, and then he goes and gets back in the truck. And so then the owner would come by and just say, all right, he said, well, if we need anything, we'll be back in contact with you. And they leave. And it's not until the owner of the house goes back in and then begins to go through things or look at things that they found out that they were the victim of a thief. They were the victim of a scam. They were the victim of something tragic and horrible. And now they're trying to figure out how that they're going to recoup the things that they have lost. I just want to reiterate here today that the thief that you and I know of, called the devil, called Satan, called Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, however that you want to term him, he is doing the exact same thing to you. He's casing you out. He's watching of where that he may be able to exploit you, trying, amen, to do everything. When he can't get you to falter and fall, amen, he'll get you just to be too busy to do, amen, the things. The Bible said in the book of Daniel that he's come to wear out the saints of the Most High, that you just become weary. And Jesus even stated and said that if the good man of the house would have known at what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Amen. The Bible also teaches us that except, amen, that the thief would be able to bind the strong man, he cannot come in and take his goods. Bible says that when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that he walks through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. And then he will say, I will return unto my house. And the Bible teaches us that he comes back and he begins to look into the windows of the heart, and he finds it empty and garnished and swept and clean. And he goes and he calls seven other friends that are worse than himself, and they come in and they take habitation or advantage of that house. I don't believe that I feel so strongly that we must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let me just bring it home here today, and let me talk to you from a pastor's heart this morning. Amen. As I woke up this morning and began to pray, amen, there were some things that was heavy upon my heart. I tried to push them aside and to pray through them, but it wasn't until I began to give attention to them, amen, that the Lord began to bring some reprieve. I feel like there is a thief. I feel like the enemy is casing you out. I feel like the enemy is looking in your windows and in your doors. I feel like the enemy is seeking whom he may devour. And I've come to warn somebody here today, you need to be sober. You need to be vigilant. You need to wake up, and you need to understand this is not just happenstance. Amen. This is the way that the devil is leading you. This is the way that the devil is directing you. This is the way that the enemy of your soul is trying to exploit you. You've got to be wary. You've got to wake up. You've got to shake yourself, and you've got to guard your heart.
You got to guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I just troubled. Amen. Just troubled. You know why? You know, I can say, you know, right now, I got two messages right here. And no clarity would come between the two of them, but I knew the subject. Amen. Praise God. God's going to help us. Why? It's because, amen, the good shepherd comes to give life and life more abundantly. Amen. The good shepherd comes, amen, and he'll give even his life, amen, for the life of the sheep. He's not just going to allow the thief just to come in and devour and wreck, amen, and make a mess of things in people's lives, amen. But the good shepherd is just going to come back and he's going to help. But you know what the tragic thing about it is? The tragic thing is that, amen, let me say it like this. The good thing is that the shepherd knows our tendencies. The good shepherd knows our weaknesses. You know, my dad worked hundreds and hundreds, thousands upon thousands of sheep. And there were times that he would take me out there, out on the ranch where he worked in the evening times. For certain situations, sometimes after work, midweek, or maybe it was on a Saturday, for varying purposes concerning the sheep. There were times that I went and hauled hay with him, but there were times that he would need to do something called dipping the sheep. He'd have to dip them. Basically, it's just giving them their shots, because what happens is blowflies like to go up into the nostrils of the sheep, and they lay their eggs up there. The eggs hatch and stuff. Basically, it gets into the brain of the sheep, and basically, they go crazy. I have literally seen a sheep turn around, take off running, and headbutt a tree and break his neck. So, well, that's just lamb chops. But that's tragedy. But I am telling you that that's how serious it is. And so in learning these things, you got new lambs, you got all these things every year. You've got sheep that go, sheep that come, sheep that you send out, you got others that are born, sheep that you sell, sheep that you keep. Good ewes, female sheep, good ones that you know bring forth strong babies. You've got ones that are more susceptible to disease and all these other things. And so I remember my dad telling me one time, he said, now son, he said, you see that sheep right there? He said, keep your eye on her. Because if you ever take your eye off of her, she's going to get you. She's watching constantly. She's watching. And if you take your eye off, she'll turn around, she'll charge you, and she'll butt you. And but if you give eye contact, or if you just look, she'll back off. She's like, she don't want you to know what she's going to do. And then there were others. He would say, now, these over here, you have to watch them, because if they're ever given an opening, they're going to run. And so you got to try to keep them here and such. And so we knew what sheep were susceptible to floundering. And typically it'd be the same ones, exact same ones, over and over. And so after a good rainstorm and stuff, you'd have to drive out there and drive the pasture, walk around, do whatever and stuff like that. And you'd find sheep that were laying down. You got to go pick them up. You got to go pick them up because their wool is full of water and they're wet and it's too heavy. They can't stand back up on their own. And so you go and you pick them up. Get them up, get them going again. They take off and they run to the sheep. But you know what? It's the same ones over and over and over again. Same ones with the same problems. Shepherd having to help the same ones with the same problems. And I don't want you to read too much into that, because I want to help you here today. For the Bible says that the thief, that when an unclean spirit is gone out of an individual, that he walks through dry places seeking rest, and he findeth none. And he says, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to my house. He still considers you his property. Now, if I were to call for a show of hands here today, I very seriously doubt that we would have any that would really disagree with what I am going to say here today. But what I will tell you is that the trials that you face, the temptations that you face, usually are nothing new. It's just on a different level. Same thing, different level. Same thing, different person. Same thing, different situation. Same thing, different area. But typically, it's the exact same thing, maybe with a different mask on. In the old days, back in Shakespearean days, they would have these plays where everybody would come out to view the play. But there wasn't enough people to play all the parts of the play. And so they had these little masks that they would use. And they would take a mask and they would put it in front of their face and they would be representing one individual. And they would drop that mask and pull a different mask up and they would represent a different individual. But it's the same person. And when you begin to look into the temptations, when you begin to look in the spirits that come against you, sometimes they have a different mask. But it's the same spirit. And there are times that I may be able to tell you and may say to you, until you defeat this spirit, you'll never get beyond this point. And that is correct. But that does not mean that that spirit's not coming back. I was pastoring a young man one time, and I told him, I remember standing at youth camp and I walked up behind him and he was there up at the front and he had his hands raised. He wasn't very serious about anything. But I walked up behind him and I put my hands on his shoulder and I spoke into his ear and I said, son, I want you to listen to me. You're playing around with danger. And if you don't get control and if you don't listen to me, if you don't get control over this, this is going to be super bad. I said, listen to me and mark my words. That was at youth camp. A few months later, he'd done something, giving in to the same spirits. For him, there were two areas that he had. Number one, he had an area of perversion in his life. And number two, he had an area of violence in his life. And he was the type of person, and he was just had almost an evil demeanor. And we had to keep him prayed through. We had to do our best to keep him prayed through. And he'd be good today and tomorrow and maybe this week and possibly a month. But then after that, those spirits would come back. And we'd start fighting them all over again. All over again. You know, it was the same two girls that were susceptible to demonic possession that we were always casting devils out of. Nobody else. Just those same two. And the list goes on and on. But I remember the time that this young man did something this one particular night. And he took a little 7-year-old boy, I think 6-7-year-old boy, and swung him around and around by his hand and slammed his head into the side of a van. Bruised the whole side of his face. And his dad came to me and his dad was ready to go and kill this kid. And I was almost of the opinion, well, you're going to have to beat me to it. And thank God Dad came to me, because if Dad would have went chasing, it wouldn't have ended very well. And so His mom and this boy, they had already left. The boy knew he was in trouble, and so he got his mom, and they took off and left. And so I called him. I said, is your son with you? She said, yeah. And I said, put him on the phone. And so I told him, I said, what were you thinking? I began to talk to him. And I told him these words. I said, listen to me. You better listen to me. Because you are one step from going too far. And the next thing that you pull, you're going to jail. I said, and they're not going to try you as a juvenile. They're going to try you as an adult. Do you hear me? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hear you. Within 10 days, I was walking through the juvenile detention center, waiting for them to unlock the big door, walking in to the little cubicle area and waiting for that guard to unlock that door. I walked into that door and sat down at the chair, and they shut the vault behind me. And then they escorted this young man into the other side of the plexiglass. And he sat down and he picked up the phone. And I picked up my phone. And we began to talk. As a good shepherd, what do you have to say to an individual like that? Words don't come easy. You want to look at them and say, I tried to help you. Didn't we just talk about this 10 days ago? Did not I tell you that this would happen? Why wouldn't you just listen to me? That's what you want to say. I remember a few days later, as I walked into the courtroom, and as I sat down in that courtroom's theater seats, listening to the judge as he was bringing in one individual after another. And then of how that he would call this young man's first and last name. And stepping from the side, the door would open, and stepping in this young man in his orange prison garb with his hands handcuffed in front of him and handcuffed to his waist. And he would begin to walk out in front of the judge. And the judge stopped. And the judge said, hold on, wait a second. And he addressed the DA. And he said, why is a juvenile entering into my courtroom with this court full? And the DA said, Your Honor, we're not charging him as a juvenile. We're charging him as an adult. And nobody in that courtroom, his mother and everybody that was sitting with me, nobody knew that. And here he was. Time would progress on, and he would be sent to San Quentin. And the saying simply was, San Quentin prison there in California is a rough, rough place. It's where they send all the murderers and all those other things and vile, hardcore criminals. And somebody just said, oh, he's going to a place that next time he'll know how to do it better without getting caught. He's going to learn how to do it next time without getting caught. From San Quentin, he went to Susanville, which is the state penitentiary, because of the thing that he had done. And it didn't have to be that way. But you know what? I knew the tendency of that sheep. I knew the tendency. He had a name for that. I dealt with him from day one. From day one, him and his brother got in a fight in the fellowship hall, busted the door jamb. They were always doing things and such like that. He was the type of individual that would put thumbtacks in his hands and go shake the little girl's hands. Always, always do. I'm just simply saying that's the tendency. And just because you defeat it today, or just because you get past it today, does not mean that it's not coming back. That spirit walks through dry places and he comes back. That spirit has learned some things. I don't have time to get to talk to you today about the hierarchy of spirits. But let me just say, that spirit is not content with just dwelling on the bottom of things. Amen. And he has got major embarrassment about him because he could not hold what he used to possess or oppress or have. He's been put out. And so he's learning and he's walking through dry places seeking rest, finding none. He goes back to the place that he calls his house. And at his house, he looks in and he sees that there's been no prayer, no Bible reading, no fasting, missing church. And the list goes on and on and on. Not listening to the things that are conducive to the Spirit. Talking about things that aren't conducive to the Spirit. Amen. Laughing at bad jokes. Amen. All out. The list just goes on and on. And he says, I can come back. But he don't come back by himself. He brings seven others that are. I'm here to tell you this morning that I don't care who you are. And this goes for me as well. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what your title is. I don't care how old in life that you are. I had an 80-year-old lady tell me the things that she had been bothered by her entire life. And at 80 years old, she's still being tempted by the same things. Amen. Things that would cause a pastor to blush in shame. At 80 years, it don't change. It doesn't change. Amen. The enemy knows that you were weak to that and you were susceptible to that. And so he's going to come back and he's going to do it again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I still feel the heaviness of the Spirit here today. Amen. God's trying to help some people. Amen. That are growing weary in well doing. That are growing weak. Amen. That are setting back. Amen. That are coasting along. Amen. And let me just tell you something. As the church presses deeper into revival, amen, we're taking grounds that the enemy holds. The enemy is not going to be happy about that. And so the enemy is going to stir up some things. And how is he going to stir things up? By coming back to the same old things that it was time and time and time ago. And that's why we, as the children of God, and the Bible says that we've got to submit ourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil. You've got to resist the devil. Amen. You've got to turn it off. You've got to quit doing it. You've got to turn the ears off to certain things. Amen. You know your weaknesses. You know what you're susceptible to. And you cannot give into those things. Things that you would pass with flying colors. I may have weaknesses and tendencies to things that I have no issue with. You may have faults and weaknesses with, but as saints of God and as brothers and sisters in the gospel, we've got to be able to stand with one another and hold one another up, because there are wolves that are out there, grievous wolves that are out there, that Paul said, I know that when I depart, when I go away, these grievous wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock, and they're going to begin to seek out the weak ones. Praise God. Praise God. We got to take living for God seriously. Living for God can't be a side job, a little thing. You know what? I enjoy living for God. Let me just tell you something. I had a friend that told me that one time. He said, I love this way. I love this way. He said, as a matter of fact, if I ever backslid, he said, I would never change the way that I dress. I would never go into cussing and all those vile things and all of these other things. He said, I just love the ways of God. I might not come to church, but I just love the ways of God. You don't know where the devil's going to take you. One of the last things that I ever knew about that young man was that he was a homosexual in New York. Had another friend that I looked up to. He was the type of young man that he had opened his lunchbox and there was a Bible in his lunchbox, and he had pulled his Bible out and he had read his Bible during lunch break. Every chance he got, he is reading his Bible. You think, this young man. I went and stayed the night at his house one time. We was, I guess, late teens, 19, 20 years old, and I was living by myself, and so he actually lived in the town that my wife lived in, went to that church and stuff. And so I was staying the night over at his house, and he told me, he said, hey, he said, I'm going to go to the church and pray. If you want to stay here, that'd be fine, or you can go with me. I said, well, no, I'm going to go with you. That was the type of young man that this was. But you know, things happen. Things happen. And all you have to do is just flip a few pages in his life. Just a few. Just a few pages in his life. And you'll find where he quit coming to church. And then you flip the page and you see where he was into hard liquor. And on the same page, you find that he's starting to do drugs. You flip the page and he's not just a drug user, but now he's a drug dealer. He's dealing drugs because he can't pay for the habit that he has. You flip a couple of more pages and you see where he had parked his car at one of those parking rides and was commuting to work, and the drug lord or somebody had sent somebody his way and took and loosed all of the lug nuts on his front tires, and driving that Camaro, he was coming off of that parking and he was going on to I-25, 75 miles an hour. And it's the goodness of God somehow or another whispered to him, and he was able to understand and to know, and he was able to see it somehow. But you know what? You say, oh, wouldn't that shake a person enough to wake them up? We'll flip a couple of more pages. Flip a few more pages. And I'm driving down the highway, and my phone rings, and it's his cousin. He says, hey, pray for Fabe. Said he was at a house, drive-by shooting, and somebody shot him into the house several times, and one hit him right in the head. And he lived. He lived. And he walks with a limp, and his hand is shriveled. He's got problems and issues. You thought, oh, then he would have definitely gotten right with God. I wished I could say that. I wish that I could say such a catastrophe and such a thing would awaken somebody and get their attention and help them to understand, you know what, I need to stop doing that. Time hasn't been so kind. Time hasn't been so kind. He had a son, raised his son up in some of the same ways. They buried his son within a few years ago, running from the cops. The devil comes, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I could tell you that my dad, he backslid. You know what I would tell you? Drugs didn't get him. Drugs didn't get him. I could tell you a lot of things that didn't get him. Alcohol didn't get him. It didn't get him. And you know what else I would tell you? I would tell you that working overtime and working all the time and overtime, that didn't get him either. That was an effect of a cause. Because he was always working. He was going to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, coming home 3:30, 4 o'clock, changing lunch boxes and heading out to the ranch. And depending on what they were doing, he might be there till 9 or 10 o'clock, turning lights on the tractor so that they could see as they were cutting the hay or baling the hay or whatever, trying to beat rainstorms and such like that, moving the sheep, whatever it was. Saturdays, working long, long hours Saturday. Sundays, he was making himself available to work at other areas, working. Work didn't get him. Work didn't get him. I could list other things and tell you that it didn't get him. You know what got him? You want to know what got him? Bitterness. Bitterness got him. Bitterness destroyed him. There's two sides of bitterness. See, you can become very bitter and upset with me, and you can lose out.
And I've seen a lot of people that did that. They got bitter. They got upset with the pastor. And they walked out. My dad was the exact opposite. Our church was known for running pastors off. My dad was a pastor lover. My dad loved the men of God. He stood to protect the men of God. We had people that threatened to whip our pastor. People that stood in a pastor's face with their finger in his face and saying, if you ever preach against my mom's television one more time, I'm going to come down here and I'm going to whip you myself right in front of the whole church. So you know what my dad did? My dad stuck a .38 in the back of his belt and a boot knife in his boot. And he came and he guarded the front of the church. And he sat out there by the old oak tree. And he watched as people came in and left. And when people that he didn't know, when they came in, he'd stand it right in front of the entry, right in the middle of the driveway, the turn into the church. He'd stand right there. And they knew my dad was a mean old man. Some of them might have a couple of conversations with him, but they turn around and they leave. My dad told the pastor, he said, you worry about what's going on the inside. I'll worry about everything that's going on the outside. Preach whatever you want. I'll take care of the outside. My dad's walking in the snow, freezing cold. One of the men of the church pulls up. One of the men that doesn't like the pastor pulls up and says, hey, Daryl, you need a ride? I'll give you a ride home. My dad looks and said, I'd never ride with you. Shut the door and kept on walking. Bitterness, bitterness, bitterness. My dad died a bitter backslider. But you know what? I can take you back to the very times of my initial being. My dad died after I was already here in Augusta. I'm 47, 48 years old at the time when my dad. I can take you back over 40 years ago and I can show you it's the same thing over and over and over. 40 years. You're not necessarily going to face different problems. They're just going to come in different measures, different levels, different facades, different things. You've got to be able to recognize it. You cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let me just tell you something right now. If you have a problem listening to me, your children are going to have a problem listening to me. And if you have a problem listening to me today, you're probably going to have a problem listening to me in the future, because the devil's going to come to you and he's going to know. I know how to get him. If you had a problem listening to Brother Wirtz, guess what? You probably have a problem listening to me. Because you don't have a problem with me, you've got a problem with authority. The devil doesn't change it up, he just comes back again. The same way again and again and again and again. Why? Because that's who he is. He's a thief. And he comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you need to understand and recognize that when the enemy is working against you and he's taking things away from you. Oh, I could start off by saying he takes your Bible reading time away from you. Takes your prayer reading time away from you. Takes your fasting day away from you. Takes time away from church away from you. But it's here a little and there a little. And it doesn't ever stop. He's taking things from you. And you may be saying, oh, I know exactly what the devil took from me. And you're blaming it on the devil. Amen. When God severed something and removed something in your life because the devil wasn't interested in that one thing. He was interested in you. He was interested in your life. And the God of heaven, the gracious God of heaven, understands and sees down the road. And he says, you know what? This one thing is going to be detrimental to them. Because a thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Lord said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, and I'm come to give you life, and that you may have life more abundantly. Amen. I may not have as many years as some of the elders and the former pastors and that we've all sat under and experienced. But you know what? I thank God that it's that we don't win by my knowledge and my wisdom alone. And we don't win by a collective knowledge and a collective wisdom alone. And we do, as men of God, we do talk to one another. And we do say, help me out. Help me to understand. But there is a great God of heaven, the good shepherd, amen, that wakes us up. There is a good shepherd that begins to deal with us. There's a good shepherd that won't let the under shepherd, that won't let the pastor, amen, just pray, amen, however and stuff, amen. But he starts depositing little things, amen. You can't shake it. You can't get away from it. And God said, no. You're going to pray about it for a little while. You're going to pray about it. Amen. And when you get done praying about that and the Lord puts something else, amen, I'm just simply saying that I don't have to have all wisdom. I don't have to have all knowledge because there is one with all wisdom and one with all knowledge. And I didn't die for you, but the good shepherd did die for you. He gave his life for you. And the good shepherd has come to ring the bell. The good shepherd has come through the preaching of the word of God. Amen. To say, hey, I'm talking to people that know exactly what I'm talking about right now. Amen. I may not know the very little thing, and I may know the very little thing, but there's a good God in heaven that says, hey, I love my sheep, and when I see the wolf coming in and when I see the thief coming in, I'm not just going to sit back and just allow the sheep, the thief, to come in, because there's going to be carnage afterwards. Let's stand this morning. The prophet would say that he was going through the field and he found the remains of a lamb. He said, all I found was, you say it like, two legs and a piece of an ear. Two ears and a piece of a leg. Think two legs and a piece of an ear. He said, that's all I found. He said, it wasn't enough to put back together, to put life within it. We could talk about meanings of that, but I think we would digress. I think that the Spirit of the Lord is here this morning. Knocking on somebody's door. And you know why you hear that knock? It's because he's not a thief. The thief is sneaking in. The thief is trying to get you out so that his partner can sneak in. The thief is waiting to find you asleep, slumbering, breaking into your house, on vacation. Breaking into your house. Out and about. Breaking into your house. But Jesus comes and he knocks on the door. He's not going to force himself inside. For he said, if any man will hear my voice and open to me, I'll come in. I'll sup with them and they with me. Zacchaeus could have came down out of a tree and walked to his house and been shocked to find Jesus sitting at the table, but that's the characteristics of a thief. Instead, Jesus went and found him. He said, Zacchaeus, why don't you come down? Let's go to your house. I want to talk to you. I feel like that's what the Lord of heaven is doing this morning. God's come to talk to you about some things. It's by definition, the thief has no intentions of good for your life. But by definition, the good shepherd wants to expose the thief and give you life, and life more abundantly. And so I'm opening up these altars today. Well, don't let the devil stir your heart up into places of wrath, bitterness,